Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. It's a good evening to celebrate, isn't it? My name is Ben. If you're new here and visiting us, we're glad that you're here with us tonight. I'm going to open my Bible and just read again this well-known verse that we just read, Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for Christmas Eve, for all of the anticipation, all of the excitement, all of the way that our hearts lean into what Christmas is in every way. I pray tonight that as we just take a few moments to look at the substance behind the shadow of Christmas, that our hearts would behold Jesus, that we would love him more, and that we'd see what he offers us in a deeper way tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, joy is one of the central themes of Christmas, isn't it? And so much of the nostalgia and the sentimentality of Christmas, the marketing of Christmas in our culture now, so much of Christmas's traditions, so much of everything that Christmas is about in our culture is built to be aimed at this one word, joy. I remember when I was a kid back on Christmas Eve's past, as many of you I'm sure remember as well, I remember how just the anticipation on Christmas Eve, the excitement of the joy that I knew I would feel the next morning, how just that expectation, that anticipation of that joy would send me into convulsions. Like for what was under the tree, maybe there's some kids here that are that age where you're like, just get me to Christmas morning. My parents started having us open gifts on Christmas Eve just to get rid of the convulsions. And there's this excitement, this anticipation for the joy that's around the corner. Joy, happiness, satisfaction. In a lot of ways, all of the stuff surrounding Christmas is aimed at those things, isn't it? I mean, think about it. It's that this idea of joy is bound up just in the way that we greet each other at Christmas time, right? What do we say? Merry Christmas, right? Have a joyful Christmas. This joy is what gets packaged and marketed to us on TV and on billboards. It's what we hear on our radio and on our Pandora station, right? Have a holly jolly Christmas, right? It's the happiest season of all. Or how about this one? Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, all of your troubles will be out of sight. How hopeful that is. I mean, the idea of Christmas joy, I think, it gets pushed at us so much that we actually start to believe that it gets packaged to us, don't we? We start to think that just simply believing the magic of Christmas itself is going to save us, that even if it's only from Black Friday until December 26th, somehow if we let all of the nostalgia and all of the spirit of Christmas take hold of us and we watch X number of our favorite Christmas movies, if we soak all of the magic in, then maybe, if only for a moment, just maybe all of our troubles really will be out of sight, right? Maybe this Christmas our family will actually get along around the dinner table. Maybe this Christmas that estranged sibling that we have will give us a phone call. Maybe this Christmas we'll have enough money to be able to give our kids the Christmas that they want. And maybe this Christmas I'll find love. It happens on the Hallmark movie, doesn't it? Yeah. Even as adults, we go through our Decembers with this expectation, this anticipation that Christmas, that just this holiday in and of itself for 4 weeks or whatever it lasts, depending on when you start playing your Christmas music, just this holiday will bring us the joy and the happiness and the satisfaction that we've been longing for. But it never does it? I mean, in a small measure, it can, it does. There's definitely a happiness in some of the things around Christmas, but it's incomplete. It's impermanent. There's something that we feel in our bones is just missing. And we still end Christmas with this ache. It's this ache, this anti-climax that you feel. I know if you're a parent, you feel some of this with me. It's the anti-climax that you feel on December 26th when you pack up all of your ripped open boxes and your ripped apart wrapping paper and all of the discarded packages of all the toys that you've opened, and you pack them into your recycle bin and drag it out the street, right? The joy came and the joy went. But in Luke chapter 2, what the angel promises about Christmas is good news, not about a joy that comes and goes, but about a great joy, a lasting joy, a permanent joy, a life-changing joy. And you might not have noticed in these really famous words that we're used to here in Luke 2, but notice this with me. The angel does not say that this good news of great joy comes because there's a Lexus with a big red bow parked outside your house. He doesn't say it comes because all of your family is together this Christmas or because you could afford the particular gift that you wanted. He doesn't say that this good news of great joy has come because you've embraced in your heart all of the magic of Christmas. What does he say? He says, I bring you good news of great joy for or because what? Unto you is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What's the angel saying? He's saying this. He's saying that Christmas's joy cannot be had disconnected from the joy bringer. Real joy, great joy, cannot be had apart from what's at the very heart of Christmas. This Jesus, this Savior, born 2,000 years ago in a backwoods town of the Roman Empire, in a tiny little manger. In the angel's announcement, it tells us two things that I want us to see just in the few moments we have. Two things about the real joy that arrives in Jesus. These are only two thoughts that I want you to take home with you this afternoon. Here's what the angel's words tell us about real joy. Number one, you can't create it. You can't create it. You cannot create real joy in your life. No matter how hard you try, no matter what gifts you receive, no matter what gifts you give, no matter what hopes or dreams or aspirations come together for you this Christmas, real, true, lasting, satisfying joy isn't something that we can manufacture. It can only come to us from the outside. And that's what Jesus's very arrival at Christmas tells us. Now think about this with me. Jesus' birth as the Savior in the manger makes this very clear statement about our ability to create joy for ourselves. I mean, that God would send a Savior into this world means something, right? It means that we need saving. It says clearly that whatever we've been doing, whatever we've been trying, whatever we've been trying to cobble together to manufacture joy on our own, it hasn't been working. And the truth is, if we're honest about it, we know it, don't we? I know it. You know it. We're in this mess together. I've been getting all of these family Christmas pictures, Christmas letters, Christmas cards. I'm sure some of you have as well. It's kind of one of our traditional cultural things to do. And my favorites that come in the mail are not the pictures that you get with the family wearing all denim and white posed in front of the perfectly aged barnwood backdrop. You know, the ones I'm talking about. That's not my favorite. My favorites are the one where it's obvious that the kids are forcing a smile, where you can tell that the kids have just been in an argument about how close they had to sit together. You know, where you can tell that it's take number 42 of this picture and everybody's just ready to get back to the warm house. Those are my favorites. Why? Because they're the most real, right? They show us that this world isn't perfect. Our lives aren't perfect. And we live in this culture where we post our perfect Christmas pictures to Facebook and to Instagram, right? And we know that everything isn't perfect. The turkey and the stuffing look beautiful through that vintage filter that we put on, but we tasted it. We know what it's like. It was dried out and not good. And the kids look happy with their presents, but we know that 3 minutes after that picture was taken, they were headed into a candy cane meltdown. And we know that however hard we try, whatever the image is that we put out there, life isn't the Hallmark movie. Inside of our hearts, this deep and abiding joy that we want, it's not something that we can just manufacture through circumstances. And a joy that isn't dependent on circumstances, that's not dependent on your job situation or your salary or your relationships or any other kind of situation, that kind of joy we can't create. Someone has to create it for us. In John's gospel, John, unlike Matthew or Luke, John doesn't give us any of the details surrounding Jesus' birth. He doesn't tell us what happened when Jesus was born, but John does open his gospel by telling us what it all meant, what Jesus' birth meant. And he says this in John chapter 1 and verse 1. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through Him." In other words, John, talking about Jesus, says this Jesus created everything. John's connecting Jesus, the eternal Word, who is also the baby in the manger. He's connecting him to the God who created the very cosmos. He's saying that they're one and the same. He's the creator. And then in verse 16, John says this, "And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." Literally, he says we've received gift upon gift. Friends, the gift of Christmas joy, a joy that's created from within us, that's created within us, but it comes from outside. It comes only through the fullness of this Savior, Jesus. And so if what John is saying to us is true, if what Luke is telling us is true through the words of the angel, it means this, that in this Savior, God hasn't left us just chasing our tails. He's come from the outside to deal with the mess of our brokenness and our sin. He's come to bring us real, true, lasting joy. And so if you're here this afternoon and you're wondering what the heart of Christmas is, what's at the very heart of Christianity, this is it. It's that there is this saving, rescuing Savior who's brought joy to broken, needy people who know that they can't create that joy in themselves. This is what makes Christianity so unique, because you know what every other religion says? In fact, it's what even the religion of the holiday spirit in America says. It says this, if you just do the right things, if you buy the right things, if you have the right things, if Christmas has all the right stuff in it, you'll be happy. You'll save yourself. You'll climb up this ladder and you'll rescue yourself. You know what the angel is announcing? There's no way. You need a joy from outside of yourself. You need a Savior to come down the ladder and to do what you never could. You need Jesus. Number two, the second thing I want you to see about real joy here is this. Number one was you can't create it. This is something that comes from the outside. It comes from Jesus. Number two is this. Only real joy lasts. Only real joy lasts. You know, as hard as you hold on to the joys of Christmas, they're temporary, aren't they? I mean, there's this buildup from the holidays for maybe 4 weeks up till December 26th or maybe up till January 2nd when the Huskies win the Rose Bowl. And then it's back to the real world. And those joys are gone. And when the family heads home and the food is put away and the decorations are taken down and the tree goes into the yard waste, what are you left with? There's a feeling of emptiness, isn't there? There's this temporary satisfaction that we feel, but then there's this inevitable drop. It's not just Christmas, that's life often, isn't it? We can't keep this joy. We chase after it. We start chasing after what's bigger and better, and we think that somewhere we'll find the real thing, but it never comes. In fact, what we find is that the more we chase joy in this world, the more that we try to grasp it in our hand, the more it seems to slip away, the more it runs right through your fingers. It's like chasing a shadow. You're just never quite able to get a hold of it. That's the fleeting happiness, the passing pleasures, the momentary joys of Christmas. They're a shadow. But what's any shadow supposed to do? A shadow's meant to make us look beyond it to the reality, isn't it? To the substance that's created. And the substance here at Christmas is Jesus himself. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." Lewis is saying that we weren't made for the shadow. We were made for the substance that's behind it. We're made for the real thing. So what arrives at Jesus' birth isn't temporary joy. It's the real thing. It's a joy that lasts. And that's what Christmas is ultimately pointing us to. Now, how do I know that Christmas is pointing us to this joy that lasts? How do I know this joy is a lasting joy? Well, think about this with me. In Jesus, God became man. He entered into our world. He experienced our sorrows. He tasted our weaknesses. He felt our need. He walked through and experienced everything that we experience, including suffering and death. And the Jesus that was born in a cradle was also crucified on a cross for our sin and our brokenness and our mess that we've created in this world. And 3 days later, he rose again. And now, do you know what the Bible says? It says that he is alive and he's reigning forever as the divine human king. And so how do I know that there is a joy that is deeper and better and longer than anything in this world? Now, how do I know that there is actually a joy that is available for us that will last forever, a joy that's not going anywhere, a joy that's going to last beyond December 26th, that's going to last beyond January 2nd, a joy that's going to last beyond next Christmas and the Christmas after that and the Christmas after that and is going to last into eternity? How do I know that? Well, I know because there is a Savior who lasts forever. There's a Jesus who lasts forever. I know because this Savior that the angel announces here in Luke chapter 2, the one who is the joy bringer, is the forever Savior. He's the everlasting King, Christ the Lord. This joy giver of Luke chapter 2, this Savior who was born 2,000 years ago in a manger, is going to one day return and bring to his people great joy forever. This is the way that the Bible puts it. At the very end of the Bible, it says this, that this Jesus will come and wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. That sounds like a joy that lasts, doesn't it? My hope for you this Christmas is that you would look past the passing joys of Christmas, that you'd look from the shadow to the substance, to these eternal joys that are found not just in Christmas as an idea, but in Christ himself. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your gift, that you've given us a Savior, a joy bringer to rescue us from a fleeting pleasure of this world. Lord, would we this Christmas behold the joy giver? Turn our hearts to him, we pray. In his name, amen.